Willie Hensley has been a state legislator, a native rights advocate, the founding member of a regional native corporation, and the voice of the Alyeska Pipeline Company in Washington, D.C. Now the Inupiaq elder is a memoirist. He visited Sitka over the weekend to talk about his book, 50 Miles from Tomorrow, a memoir of Alaska and the real people. Hensley can tell you a lot of stories about growing up near Kotzebue in the 1940s and 50s. He told some of them at Sitka High School on Friday afternoon.
The missionaries couldn't pronounce our names, and so they started willy-nilly giving us names. And as I said in the book, I personally knew Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and Robert E. Lee. They were named for famous Americans. I think our name came from a missionary by the name of Henley. Somehow it got an Escott thrown in there.
Between missionaries and the federal government, Hensley didn't have much control over his young life, including where he went to school. He ended up at a Baptist boarding school in Tennessee.
I was just like an immigrant from some foreign land, landing in Tennessee. I had no idea about the Civil War. I had no idea about slavery. I was curious about America. And I was a pretty good student. I had to study hard. It was lonesome. But what I learned was that all the pretty girls went out with the football players. And so, there I am right there, number 45.
After Tennessee, Hensley attended George Washington University, where he majored in political science. He came back to Alaska and served 4 years in the Alaska House, 4 years in the Alaska Senate, and then held a host of appointed positions under four different governors. He helped found Nana Regional Corporation and the Alaska Federation of Natives, and he recently retired as manager of federal government relations for the Alyeska Pipeline Services Company, serving as the voice of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline in Washington, D.C. A full life that took him far from home geographically, but never far from home emotionally or culturally. In his book, the chapters are named first in Inupiaq and then in English, and when he sat down for an interview with Raven News, we asked him first to pronounce his Inupiaq name, the one the missionaries couldn't seem to say.
Hrrakruk, and the other one, of course, I pronounced was Kikiktakruk. Kikiktak is an island, you know, and Kikiktakruk is like a little island. And that's the name of Kotzebue.
You know, the history of the native people of Alaska, is that a history that we remember appropriately today?
No, or? Absolutely not. First of all, because most people don't know the history. Native or non-native. In our case, as I was trying to say, because it's been excluded from our lives. You know, the system has been so busy changing us that they saw nothing of value in our culture, our music, our dance, our history, our legends, our knowledge of the cosmos, our knowledge of the natural universe was considered of no value. And for the non-natives, of course, we only recently started trying to teach Alaskan history in our schools. So we've had generations of Alaskans who know very little about their own territory.
How do you recover that story? How do you get those stories into future generations that are going to remember?
You know, I mean, this is, if you don't understand the past, then you may not have any preparation for the future. And to me, having a sense of continuity, a sense of history as an individual is very important because you're not just an individual out there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you are part of a continuum. You know, whether it's a native or non-native, you belong to something. You have a history of ancestry that have experienced things and you want to pass this on to your children. Alaska has been a place people have come to get rich. Generally speaking, I mean, that's what brought the Russians over. I mean, those sea otters were worth 40 times a beaver pelt. And they were willing to kill for it, you know, and they were willing to endanger their own lives by heading across the North Pacific there with those god-awful winds. And on and on and on. The whaling industry, you know, the gold. The canned salmon industry. So the way I look at it, as I was trying to convey without being too blunt and scare the hell out of people, is that, you know, we've had 35 phenomenal years. And for the old-timers who are still around, they know that Alaska was hard sledding in those early days. There were no safety nets.
How is the experience of being an Alaska Native different for your own children than it was for you?
Oh, well, for everybody of their generation, they've been living in heaven because they haven't been hungry. They haven't been cold. They've had a nice warm roof over their head. They've gone to some great schools. You know, Dartmouth and Amherst and, you know, George Mason University. I mean, of course, I went to GW. I mean, it was a struggle. I was living on $2 a day, you know. And it's a different world. But I would say this, though, that I went to my 50th high school reunion in Tennessee last spring. And I swear that there's not a single individual there in whose lives has been harder than their parents, right? They've had an easier life. And so it has been with our own children up here.
Elizabeth Paratovich Day is coming up. How did Elizabeth Paratovich, her life and legacy, how did it impact your life?
Well, I didn't walk around with no dogs or natives allowed signs, you know, in public facilities as they were in the 40s. I would say that, well, even into the 60s, you know, natives were precluded for, say, entering the pioneers' homes. I mean, I had to get the law changed. Not that I wanted people in the pioneers' homes, but I just didn't believe that we should have a law that said applicability to natives. Any native receiving aid from the federal government is hereby excluded or something to that effect. And that was, in the 60s, right? And so the fact that Alaska Natives didn't really become citizens of the United States for between 1867 until 1924, you know, with the passage of the Indian Citizenship Act. So, but even though that was passed, we still didn't have civil rights, you know, until that legislation that she helped promote in the 40s. I would say that, you know, people like Elizabeth Paratovich, you know, helped pave the way for some equality that has taken many years to come and may not even be here yet in some respects.
That's Inupiaq elder and activist Willie Hensley speaking with Raven Radio on Friday, February 11th. The Friends of Sheldon Jackson Museum brought him to Sitka to discuss his memoir, 50 Miles from Tomorrow, a memoir of Alaska and the real people. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.